Notre Dame home game Saturday continues with WSBT Game Day, live from Ivy Court Inn and Suites. Here is your host, Evan Sharpley.
This is the Game Day Show with Evan Sharpley, live from Ivy Court Inn and Suites. It's a beautiful fall day as we prep for a high-profile matchup this evening as the Fighting Irish take on the Stanford Cardinals. Notre Dame's jumped out to a 4-0 start to the season, but won three of those games by just eight or fewer points. Granted, among those contests, the Fighting Irish had a game against then number 14 and ranked Michigan and hosted an underrated Vanderbilt team, but also only beat Ball State 24-16. So each of those games had senior Brandon Winbush as the starting quarterback, but that changed last week in week four at Wake Forest, where head coach Brian Kelly handed the reins to junior Ian Book versus the Demon Deacons, and that decision paid off. Through the first 3 weeks of the season, Notre Dame's offense has only averaged 23.3 points per game, but put up 56 points with Book as the man under center. Though it's a small sample size. Kelly has stated, though, it could vary week to week as who starts at quarterback, making it very interesting for us, the fans, yes, to see who's going to run out there today. On the season, Winbush has completed just 55.3% of his pass attempts, throwing four interceptions to just one touchdown, and has not passed over 300 yards in a game yet. Last week, Book went 25 for 34, completing over 70% of his passes for 325 yards, two touchdowns, three rushing touchdowns, no interceptions. The Fighting Irish will need a repeat performance from Book or Winbush today to get past Stanford. The biggest area of concern for the Cardinals has been senior running back Bryce Love. The 2017 Heisman finalist is averaging just 4.3 yards per carry. Stanford does head into week five here in South Bend with a perfect 4-0 ranking, including two wins over ranked opponents. The Cardinals have a remarkable defense, only allowing 10 or fewer points for the first 3 weeks of the season, but then surrendered 31 to the high-octane offense of the Oregon Ducks last week. Although Stanford allows opponents to move the ball, they rank 57th in the nation in yards per game. Its red zone defense has only given up six touchdowns the whole season. So Stanford did show tremendous heart in week four over Oregon. The Cardinals trailed the Ducks 24-7 at half, but battled back in the second half to outscore Oregon 24-7, pushing the game into overtime and then just needed two plays to seal the victory. KJ Costello, the quarterback for Stanford, has gone over 1,000 yards so far this season, 20 most in the NCAA, with 10 touchdowns and three interceptions. It should be a fantastic matchup in South Bend today, this weekend, as the teams play for the Legends Trophy, one of my favorite trophies, a relic made of half California redwood and half Irish crystal. We have a great show lined up for you, and while my regular partner in crime, State Farm agent Tim Growl, is not here this week, we're excited and ready for kickoff. If you're in or around the area, Ivy Court Inn Suites, please stop by and check us out. As always, we have Fisher's Tips and Chips Barbecue. We have some great guests lined up. We're never quite sure who's going to show up. We're glad some people did show up today, and we've got two great guests to kick off our show. We got Ross Browner and Willie Townsend. Ross, how are you today?
Hey, even dude, fantastic.
I feel like you always bring some really good weather when you show up.
Hey, this is beautiful weather. I mean, it's football weather. We're ready to hit.
Well, hey, tell us a little bit when you come back in town. I know there's some things going on. Last night we spoke about a little bit. What'd you guys have dialed up last night?
Well, we were at the Monogram Club. And we had about like 70 players.
Is that the Chivarelli Lounge?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's in the stadium.
All right.
That's in Joyce Center. Joyce Center. And, you know, we had a great time because we had 70 of the guys back. A lot of guys we have not seen for 45 years.
Wow.
So, you know, getting back together was just a great joy and a great pleasure. And, boy, we've got a lot of teammates that passed. And so we made sure we remembered everybody. Air Parsegian, of course. And, you know, just we were just having a great camaraderie and just seeing each other and being national champs at 73. You know, that's a special group.
Absolutely. You guys are showing off a little of the bling with the rings on now.
Yeah, I'm showing off my Super Bowl.
I've just got my wedding ring. That was
it. Okay, all right. He's claimed, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, hey, guys, we appreciate you taking some time. We always love to hear the stories. And Willie, let's start with you, kind of your path, you know, to Notre Dame, your experience there, the connection, all of those things. We love to hear those stories.
Well, I came out of Hamilton, Ohio, and I came to Notre Dame back in the 1969 and 70 time frame. And I played, I was recruited to play wide receiver. And I played here for a number of years. And then also I got convinced by Digger Phelps to play basketball for him, you know. And so it was fun. It was a great time. We got to go to NIT. We finished second in NIT 1 year. And then in football, I got the chance to play for the national championship against Alabama. I mean, it was just an awesome time. I've had a great time playing here. I had a great time getting an education here. I have an engineering degree from this place. And although at my end of my career time frame, at 68, I'm teaching kids how to do math, you know, and it's a great time. They're loving it. My classrooms are pretty exciting and very engaging, and the kids just love me, and they come back and talk to me about being in my classroom.
Willie, we'll get back to kind of what led you to then being a teacher, but we always ask former players first. They always have a story, say, about Lou Holtz or Era. I'm interested. Do you have any Digger Phelps stories for us?
Well, you know, being the football player that played basketball, the only one that I can remember is I had an opportunity to play against UCLA, the Bill Walton era. And I remember going down the basketball court after stealing a pass from Bill Walton. We didn't score a lot of points, but I remember stealing a pass, and I think we scored on that play. And Bill, on the way back down the floor, he decided that he was going to deliver a blow to me in the chest. It wasn't hard. It was just a tap or whatever. And then I looked at him, and then I put him in. The ball went up, and I rebounded him, and I hipped him out, blocked him out, and locked him into the band, which used to be right underneath the basket, not there anymore. And, you know, and of course, Mr. Holt Wooten said, hey, you know, you got to get those football players off the court. And
this is the Game Day Show with Evan Sharpley on your home for Fighting Irish Football, 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT. We're sitting down right now with Ross Browner and Willie Townsend right now, and talking about memories dating back to their time here on the field, on the court a little bit here too. Right. You mentioned the engineering degree. You talked about being a teacher now. What was the path that led you to where you are currently from the academic side? You hear all the time, it's a 40-year decision. 4 for 40 has been a huge recruiting ploy for all athletes that have been on campus now. Talk to us about your experience with that.
My experience is that my engineering degree from here led me to do a lot of things. It gave me an opportunity to have an education that dealt with logic and organization, and being able to spread my ideas out in terms of coming up with creative ways to do business. I've worked for General Motors. I worked for Ford Motor Company in that time frame. I've engineered mechanical things. I've engineered electrical things. I worked for KitchenAid for a long time as an engineer and also as a quality control manager. I've run a power plant on the Ohio River. You know, and all that's generated as a result of me being an engineer, because I understand logic and systems and how they work. And that all helped out. And my last job before I ended up going to California, because that's where I live right now, this company hired me to come in and to do a system analysis. I'm an efficiency kind of expert, mm-hmm. kind of guy, and so I did an efficiency on this plant that they had in California that was not doing very well, and they asked me to do that. And after I did the efficiency expert, they asked the efficiency on it. They said, hey, you know, why don't you stay and be the plant manager? So that's how I ended up in California, and I've been there for a while. Plant changed hands. Company changed hands. And I decided I'm a people person. I know what I am. And when they changed hands, I said, I'm out of here. You know, you guys gone. So then I started being a teacher. My son, who is here, all right, with me the game today, and he went to the Air Force Academy. And so on his way there, I was going to teach him, but be his teacher, but he didn't want me at the school, of course. You know, he said, that's the wrong place. You can't be a teacher at the school where I am. Yeah. But my daughter didn't care. She also graduated as well. And so, you know, my engineering degree here has allowed me to do a whole lot of different things. And those things I bring into the classroom where I am now, and to help engage the students, because that's really what we're looking for, trying to get the students to be more involved with their own education, learning things that can help them to be a part of society.
It sounds like the degree obviously opened up front doors, side doors, windows. Mm-hmm. And you hear this a lot of times too, the kind of the Notre Dame moment. And it sounds like, you know, you've experienced that in a number of different levels and now as a teacher too. And yeah. And Ross, maybe you can speak to that a little bit too, as, you know, outside of the athletic aspect,
yes.
The doors that this university has opened long term, and maybe, you know, what your Notre Dame moment was.
Well, yeah, of course, you know, our education, you know, and I, even when I was getting drafted, I was in economics class taking a test. And they said, well, where were you at? I was in an economics class. We go to our classes, and we want to pass, and we want to graduate. And that's what I did. I graduated in arts and letters and in economics. And it has taken me very far, because anytime I'm interviewing or going to any type of prep, you know, just getting in there trying to get a job, they always say, where did you graduate from? I said, Notre Dame. They said, okay, that now we can talk, okay? And it's always made a difference of just talking to hirers and just knowing that they graduated and being able to tell people about the experience at Notre Dame and the education that you get. I think everybody's so thrilled to hear that 99% of our athletes graduate. And that's still the best across the board. And
pretty remarkable.
When I was coming out, that was the best across the board. That's the reason why I chose Notre Dame, because of the graduation percentage of athletes. And then moving on from there, of course, you know, playing for Notre Dame as a freshman and being in the first class as a freshman to play, you know, Luther Bradley and I starting on first team. And boy, I tell you what, that was a thrill, because Willie and all the guys, Mike and everybody that was on the team that were older classmates and all, they all took us in and really understood that we were good players too, and they allowed us to play. And with our play and their play, it just made us into champions. So let's talk about
you know, playing for championships. What was that like? What was the message? What was going on in the locker room, the practice, you know, from the coaching staff? What was their message? And maybe at what point during the season did you know, like, we've got something special here?
Well, I think we had something special from the very beginning. What was going on within the team itself, the players themselves, we were relaxed. We had a great time together. We trusted each other. We had a job to do. Each one of us had a job to do, and we were able to go do our jobs. We were able to do our jobs knowing that the person next to us who had a job to do, they were going to do their job. And all of that came together with camaraderie. All that came together with all of us focusing on what needed to be done. And on a game day, we were all zoned in. We knew what we needed to do, and we did it. And we knew when. I don't know when we knew when. I just knew we were thought at the beginning of the season.
Game by game.
We're going to be a great group of guys that enjoyed the game, and we all enjoyed the game.
And going game by game, it was almost like you felt the intensity. You felt the energy. And you were hitting that play like a champion today when we're going out the locker room. Okay, we're playing like a champ today, baby. And this is one of those type of things that just carried on with the whole team. I mean, to the last player. You know, if anybody went down, we were ready to go in. I mean, if anybody did anything out there, we were ready to get behind them. Don't worry about that. If it's a fumble or something like that, don't worry about that. We got the next play to worry about. And I think with that camaraderie and everything, we just built each other's spirit and playing ability.
You're listening to the Game Day Show with Evan Sharpley. We're live at Ivy Court Inn and Suites, sitting down with Ross Brauner, Willie Townsend right now, talking some football. Let's bring it to today. You know, we've got a 4-0 Notre Dame football team right now, a 4-0 Stanford team. We talked about, you guys maybe didn't necessarily know an exact moment, but you kind of feel it, and it was a week-by-week thing. Talk to us about this year's team, Ross, and maybe some aspects that you see for a positive future and potentially a college football playoff at the end of the year.
Well, I tell you what, I'm really excited about our team, and now we found two quarterbacks. And so I think a lot of people across the whole country are using two quarterback systems. We used to use just one, you know, because we always say, hey, you're a starter, you're going to go from depth to finish. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, but right now having two quarterbacks, I think is really good for the team. They're young. And I tell you what, we got a good defense. I like our defense. I finally like the scheme.
A little attitude, too.
Oh, yeah,
huh?
That's what I like about it. And they're going after people. And they're not just waiting. And it's just, I mean, I love them attacking, because we were an attack defense. And we just wanted to see some more progress on the defensive side. Now we're seeing more progress on the offensive side. So I think Coach Kelly has a good combination with both of those quarterbacks. One's a good schemer. One's a good passer. So, you know, I think he's going to have a good combination. He's probably going to go week to week to find out what kind of defense they're going to go up against. So that gives them a little bit of an added advantage because that team has to prepare against them. They had to prepare for two quarterbacks instead of one.
What's your guess today? Who's running out there and starting?
Well, Book. Because we got to score some more points.
Well, I think he'd have a tough time after throwing for 300 last week and not being able to get the start. Well, what have you been your thoughts so far, four games into the season?
I agree with Ross. I think that Notre Dame offense now has some significant depth because they have depth in quarterbacks that they can run on the field and let them play. Each quarterback has his own strength. And I think that it helps out a heck of a lot on offense because, like Ross has said, you got to scheme for two different quarterbacks. And the two different quarterbacks have two different skills they're bringing to the game. That makes it a little harder on defense. Defensive-wise, from Notre Dame, I mean, they're just tough. I just enjoy watching them play defense. Even though I was an offensive player, I enjoy watching them play defense. They're very strong. They're very capable. Although Stanford has some big, tall, deep tight ends, I think we'll be able to contend with them. That's going to be something that Stanford's going to throw at us. I know, and we just, from a defensive standpoint, we got to be ready for it.
Ross, I'm interested. You said that on your teams, there was usually one quarterback. Were there any teams outside of teams that you played that had two quarterbacks where you had to prepare for, or was it usually just one?
It was a couple. Like Clemson had a couple. I think Alabama had a couple. And then, there's a couple other ones like North Carolina and let me think. Who else was that back then? Was Purdue?
How would that change then your weekly prep?
Well, there's so many plays that you can prepare for one quarterback, and then you have to prepare for the other style of the other quarterback. And so we had to do both at one time. And so our scout team had to run certain plays for this quarterback, and then we had another quarterback on scout team that could run the option or the triple option and all that type of thing. So you had to prepare both ways. But when they got into the game, you were prepared to play that game no matter who was in the game.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. I know, Ross, you're going to go grab some Fisher's Tips and Chips barbecue, I believe.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
we're going to grab Willie's brother, and we're going to sit down with Mike and Willie and talk a little bit more football. Make sure you guys continue to tune in to WSBT's Game Day Show. I'm your host, Evan Sharpley.
I'm Ross Brunner, and I'd like for you to meet some of my friends when we get together on Saturday afternoons and have a little bit of fun.
The Game Day Show is brought to you by Budweiser. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds. Carmella's at McCree's, your post-game dining destination, and McCree's Italian Bakery for all your tailgating needs. Eddy Street Commons at Notre Dame. Come dine, shop, and enjoy the merchants at Eddy Street Commons. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Contact Ryan Hale in South Bend or Jerry Hunt in South Bend as well. Food Bank of Northern Indiana. Together, we can stop hunger. Learn more at feedindiana.org and golfstreamcoach.com. Looking for exceptional trainees to learn the RV business. This is the Game Day Show. I'm your host, Evan Sharpley. We're live from Ivy Court Inn and Suites, just across from the Linebacker. We're hanging out talking some football. We have Ross Browner, we have Mike and Willie Townsend here, and we have the ever delicious Fisher's Tips and Chips barbecue. Mm-hmm. For anyone that wants to stop by, I have still offered to have an eating contest. No one has taken me up on that yet. Ross Browner right now is busy signing some autographs, so we're going to talk to Mike and Willie Townsend right now. You guys have a pretty unique story. I don't know who wants to go first. The older brother.
I was going to say.
Thank you, brother. We both from Ohio, and we came here. I came here first, and then I recruited my brother to come here to Notre Dame.
What was your recruiting pitch?
It was simple. My mom said, "I'm going to Notre Dame with you." You know, I can't make anything simpler than that.
Is there anything you want to add to that? Was it pretty clear cut like that?
No, it wasn't that clear cut. I actually had lived in the background of my oldest brother, Peyton. He's playing basketball, and that was his game, and my brother Willie was exceeding in football, so I was, no matter which sport I did, I was the younger brother. They didn't even know my first name. So I wanted to develop my own personality, so I actually I had curtailed it down to two schools, Purdue and Notre Dame. And I wanted to go to Purdue. The reason why, because it was co-ed back then and still is. And Notre Dame wasn't co-ed. So, you know, I grew up in a co-ed schooling. And I felt that in order for me to continue to be successful, I need to be in a co-ed school. So Notre Dame was the second choice. But end up, as my brother said, my mother said, you need to go to the one school.
Did you use St. Mary's as a recruiting pitch?
Oh, no. Couldn't do that. Couldn't do that back then.
I actually graduated from St. Mary's.
Oh, yeah?
Man, that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, we actually got the girls. That I think it was 2 years into the school, girls became part of the Notre Dame tradition here. So it was nice. It was nice then.
Yes,
so,
the adding of the female is as if it was a gift from God.
Yeah, we have lots of stories to tell behind that between my brother and some of his friends.
So, Mike, what was the experience? You know, my brother and I, we both attended Notre Dame too. Mm-hmm. He was on the baseball team. I was able to play with him. You know, I played with him growing up in high school, and then he walked on the football team after I was gone. He walked on as a senior. What was it like playing and being on campus with your brother?
Yeah, it's you couldn't ask for a better set, because whenever you had an issue or concern, you always had someone you could go up and talk to. Having my brother here made it a lot more fun and enjoyable, both from academic as well as from just playing sports. The reason why I came here was because of him, yes, but also because of what the education I could get out after four years. I knew that my degree at Notre Dame could go anywhere, open any door, and do things like that. That was the biggest draw for my brother way back when, because when we was just little kids, 10 and 11 years old, he said, I'm going to Notre Dame. That's what he said. I said, you crazy.
Yeah, well, they think of me that way sometimes.
Did you grab an engineering degree too?
No, I actually grabbed a math degree. So, but the fact.
So you're his substitute teacher then.
Yeah,
okay, so
yeah, there you go. He just hasn't made it to California yet.
Well, hey, let's you know, we asked Ross and we asked Willie a little bit about this year's team. Notre Dame's 4-0, have a big matchup tonight against Stanford. What have you seen from this team so far? What have you liked? What are some areas you think they can continue to improve?
They got a great team. They really got a phenomenal group of athletes that are both systematically good academically, systematically good from an intelligence last standpoint, and they got great skills. That makes a great team. All those ingredients, if you fuel them right and it gets focused, you could actually wipe the board with the rest of the teams. So if they are focused and have it consistently going when they're playing teams such as this, someone like Stanford, or it's like they did last week when they was playing a very good team, and all of a sudden all the Pistons were firing correctly. And when they're firing correctly, you could score 50, 60 points with a very good team with a lot of skill that's focused. And the things that have impressed me mostly is their defense, which causes it's my love. also, their offense has impressed me over the last two weeks. They have came together as a team. The offensive line are doing their things. The wide receivers are catching the ball. The quarterbacks and halfbacks are running the ball, and they're completing passes on a consecutive basis. When you're doing those things, you can systematically walk down a very good team, and you can systematically stay with a very good team till the breaks come your way, and then you can take over.
Mike, is there a guy on defense that's caught your eye?
Julian Love.
You get that number. You get that number 27 jersey yet?
I've watched Julian Love for 3 years, and he is a very good defensive back. Very good defensive back, and I'd say when he was a freshman that he's the one guy I feel can break the record that still exists today, and I think it belongs to me.
Well, Mike and Willie, we love sitting here talking. This is the Game Day Show with Evan Sharpley. We're live at Ivy Cornyn and Suites. We talked a little bit during the last break on how much campus has changed the different projects, the Campus Crossroads project. Right now, there's a new indoor facility that's being built too. Did you have a chance to kind of walk around campus this weekend so far and check some of those things out?
Yes, I did. I came in Friday morning early, and my son drove me up from Indianapolis where I flew into. And I got a chance to walk the entire campus. He and I walked around, and things are so different. You know, when we were here, there was like well over 3,000 students here. Now there's like 12,000. You know, it's so different, and it has grown and changed and evolved. You know, I hardly recognize him. My son has been here several times already. He was here for the Michigan game, him and his wife, and they were here last year a couple times. And so he says, "Oh, Dad, we got to go over here. We got to do it. This is no longer over there, Dad. This is over here." So, you know, it's been about 3 years since I've been back. And so it has evolved something huge. But the nice thing about Notre Dame is all the buildings do look alike.
Yeah.
And that's nice. And that makes for a very beautiful campus.
Mike, any new spots jumping out to you? I think for most people, you know, the Grotto, the Basilica, those are, right, you know, those are always going to be standards. But as we continue to see what the university is doing, they're expanding, you know, they're building new athletic facilities. What they've done to the stadium, even, is pretty
unique.
Very
true.
They've done a good job, in my mind, of still preserving a lot of the tradition that people enjoy. Meanwhile, trying to promote and expand to the next generation of athletes that are trying to come here too. What stuck out to you on campus?
As always, is, you know, Touchdown Jesus and the way they have placard that as a way, the center spot for the campus. Evan, I'm amazed, and I'm just happy that my brother's here when I'm here. It's been such a long time since we both have been here together, but it's really enjoyable to come back to the campus and see some of the small modifications they do, as well as the larger modifications that engulf what they are trying to evolve for all the students that are coming here, both athlete and academia. They have created, from the time we were here, a great atmosphere, continue to improve upon that. They've done things that make sure that Notre Dame still stands as a on the pinnacle of higher education and a great tradition and ability to garner what are your wares as far as skills. Both, you could be football, basketball, baseball, softball, whatever, you can develop those skills and develop as a human being and be a, and so when you leave here, you're better than whence you came, and you can go out into the world and do a fantastic job no matter what you do.
Guys, Notre Dame's sitting here 4-0 right now. Big game against Stanford. They win today. You're looking at the rest of the schedule. It's a very winnable schedule moving forward. You guys are wearing the 73 national champion hats. They look great. I don't have one of those, you know.
Sorry.
let's take it back to that experience. And, Mike, we'll start with you on what does that feel like? You know, I mean, to experience that, and especially, too, for a fan base right now that wants one so bad. Number one, let's take it to your experience on talking through that, and then could that happen this year?
Okay. Evan, from the standpoint of, yes, that's a unique experience. It evolves throughout the year, just like they're evolving as a team. We had some very tough moments in our game. Michigan State game, we won by 4 points. Somebody stole the pass and ran it back and saved that game. But there was other people playing as well. But that was just
you weren't lying about that personality.
No, told you. It does out.
I think you probably got to have that playing defensive back, though, right? I mean,
yeah, you have to.
That's
that why.
Right. But you know, we evolved as a team, and as the season progressed, we realized that we were special. We was a bunch of misfits. I'll just be honest. It was a bunch of misfits. And the one iota that kept us all constant was Coach Parcesian and his coaching staff. They kept us focused. And as each game evolved, Coach Parcesian hit on the high points that made us tick. And as the season went on, his pregame suggestion of drive to get out there and play got shorter and shorter and shorter. National championship against Alabama. I don't think he spoke 30 seconds.
You guys were dialed in.
Very dialed in.
And at that point, he knew what he had. So taking that back to what they're doing this year, they have it. That's what I see. They have it. They have it amongst the offense, they have it amongst the defense, and they have it also on the sideline. And that's where it really takes in. Those guys on the sideline are part of the team. We just met last night for our 45th year anniversary. That group that was on the sideline was just as proud as us who's out there playing to be part of the 45th year of a national championship. And that you can't take away from them no matter what you do in the rest of their life. They got that. And we got that as a team. And that's special, and you just can't. I don't know. Okay, how much money you make? You can't match that.
Well, you're listening to the Game Day Show with Evan Sharpley on your home for Fighting Irish Football. We're sitting down with Willie and Mike Townsend, 73 national championships. You talked about the message that the era preached and coached. Mm-hmm. Willie, talk to us a little bit about that, what it meant then as a player, and kind of how that's transcended time for a lot of you guys.
The things that I remember the most about era was his short, to-the-point messages. On game day, you're ready, and you know you're ready. You don't have to have somebody give you a two-minute present speech on getting motivated. When you show up, you're ready. And Era had that little bit of message that he would give to you that would just put you over the top. Because you show up, you put that uniform on, that's too late. You got to arrive ready, you know, and it's a message that people that are focused on what they're trying to do, they arrive ready. They don't wait till they get there to get ready. And that's the one thing that I think, and Michael's alluded to, and so has Ross, about this team. We were ready to play. We arrived on the football field. We arrived at the football stadium. We were ready to go at it. And we were focused on and zoned in on what was going on. And Era's messages, great messages. They were short. And as Michael said, they got shorter and shorter and shorter because we knew what we had to do. We were focused on the task at hand. And I think that those messages addressed pushing us over the top. And that's how I think of Era's messages. He was a great speaker, motivator. He was a guy that helped drive you to become, as Michael has said and Ross has said, a better person. And a better person along the way, if they embrace the things that he's trying to help you to understand and be motivated by, you're going to come out. You can't be second. You're going to want to be on the top all the time. And I think that's how I see Era's messages.
Well, you talked about showing up prepared to play. I think it was 2 weeks ago following the Ball State game, Brian Kelly said, we didn't prepare well. Mm-hmm. How much does showing up have to do with preparation throughout the week? And what did it look like for your guys' team?
To me, it's the key. It's the key. You know, the game is over on Saturday. Sunday, you're watching films or evolving, getting ready. You can't do much about the future. I mean, the past. The past has happened. You got to work on the future. And so you got to look at the things that you didn't do well and how to improve upon them. Because when you improve upon them, it's like I tell my students in the classroom, you got to process. And winning games is a process. It's a mental and physical process. And when you understand that that's the process involved, you're going to be a winner. And the team has to evolve. And the team has to grow. The team has to have the motivation and the determination to want to be the best it can be. And if that doesn't happen, if everybody on the team, the people on the field, the people off the field, the people on the sidelines, if they don't have that same motivation and drive, you're cutting yourself short. You're not going to make it. And I just hope and pray that everybody on that field out there for Notre Dame, you know, I know Stanford is here and they're going to do the same, are there for the same common goal, you know, to stop the other team, put points in the end zone. And until that if that happens today, I hope Notre Dame comes out on top.
Willie, I appreciate you taking some time. This is the part of the show now where you get to go eat Fisher's Tips and Chips. But before we let you go, if you could just real quick, a couple of keys to today's game and potentially a score prediction on how you think it'll end up.
Oh, geez, score predictions, keys to the game. I think the key is putting the right quarterback in for the right possessions to help us to be victorious. Certain situations require certain people to be in.
Defensively, I just think we can control some of their tight ends. They're big tight ends. I think we can control those. It's just going to take more effort. Score-wise, I don't know. I'm not a very good predictor of scores. Probability is sort of my kick, but it's not what I do. You know, I just like to see Notre Dame be out on top.
Awesome. Well, hey, thank you so much. Enjoy the barbecue. You're listening to the Game Day Show with Evan Sharpley. When we come back, we'll have Mike Townsend, Ross Browner, and Al Samuels. This is your home for Fighting Irish Football, 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT. This is the Game Day Show with Evan Sharpley on your home for Fighting Irish Football, 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT. We're brought to you by the Hearing Aid Service, providing you quality, affordable, digital listening solutions you can depend on. Hearth and Home, Kurt Outdoor Living, Leck Lightner Door, and Made by Hemp in Elkhart wants to educate you about their hemp-derived CBD oil products, anti-inflammatory, beauty products, extracts, and pet supplements. We're live from Ivy Cordon and Suites. If you're in the area, stop by for some free Fisher's Tips and Chips barbecue. We're talking to Ross Browner, Mike and Willie Townsend, and now we have in the house Al Samuels. Al, how are you today?
Hey. Al Sam.
In the house.
Do you guys want to conduct this interview? Go for it. Ross, what should be the lead-in question here for Al?
When you talk to me about coming to Notre Dame, what really made you motivate to get me to come to Notre Dame?
Well, that was simple. That was Eric Parsegian.
All right.
made me come to Notre Dame.
That was the main drive.
I came up here, it was a snowstorm, worst snowstorm in 20 years. You know? Come on now. So
I've heard a lot of stories just like that. It's always the worst snowstorm.
Well, matter of fact, we had to hold on to the, getting off the airplane, you know. So we got into the room at Morris Inn.
The ramp, whatever.
It was cold as heck, you know. So, yeah. So that Sunday morning, it was definitely Coach Parsegian. My goodness, Coach Parsegian.
Well, Willie said he had the recruiting line for Mike. What was Era's recruiting pitch to you then?
Oh, wow. Just his demeanor. I mean, just meeting him. I mean, just walking into the room and, you know, he gave me a handshake and sit down. He wanted to sit down and talk. Coach Packner was in there, and it was a great conversation. I'll never forget it, you know. So that sold me on the Notre Dame.
Mike, you've got the next question.
Oh, okay. Did you come in for a recruit? Did you come in with Ross and the fellas for the recruiting?
No.
I just remember because evening when we had a recruit, we had a few up being out of that recruit group. We end up getting four All-Americans out of that recruiting group.
No.
Now, you weren't part of that?
No.
You sure?
I'm positive. I came in, Bobby Washington hosted me.
Okay.
I came in with Wayne Bullock.
Oh, okay.
Wayne Bullock and I were from the same hometown, Newport News, Virginia.
Okay.
And that stuck it right there. So I didn't even meet Ross. No, Ross came in a couple of years later after me. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So the other question I want to ask.
Yes, sir.
Being that you was on offense and we used to have our throwdowns during the week. I noticed you guys would always get up and want to think that you all could beat our defense. And we wanted to make sure you weren't allowed. Did you guys used to get back together to come up special plays?
The best way to answer that question, all I have to do is look this man, Ross, and I. Did we handle our business on offense, Ross?
No.
I knew the answer to that.
No, strictly offense. I was not of that behavior being on the defensive player. So
I heard that. But being that you've been an offensive player and you're here amongst one of the unique kind of defensive players, what do you see in the offense that we have out there playing Stanford today that is really outstanding to you?
And real quick, too, Jafar Armstrong right now, one of the leading rushers, is out today.
Sure.
So they are going to be short one running back. Dexter Williams will be back today. So that's kind of what's going on in the running back room.
Thanks
right
for helping him out. Yeah,
it was a layup right there.
Offense. All I'm going to say is, you know, from last week, the switch at quarterback may have helped them.
Right.
May have helped them to play the way I think they should have been playing all along. So maybe, you know. So.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay.
He is good. Go ahead. Right, well, we got two 4-0 teams, two undefeated teams. If you're looking at keys for today's game, for an Irish victory, for them to move them to 5-0, what would be two or three things that you would, if you were a coach, you're in the locker room, you're talking to this team, that you would really hone in on that would ultimately lead in the W today?
Well, that's I would look at it like what I just told what's your name?
Al Sam.
The play on offense is really key. I think it's consistency on offense that they made progress. You know, not just fumbling around. They made progress on offense. Special teams is going to be a big picture. And then the defense, I think, is by far, you know, going to hold up and do a job. So those offense, you know, with new quarterback coming in, the defense and special teams, I think, is take it in.
Mike, let's toss it to you. It's your time to shine. A couple of keys, and your brother, he said no to the score prediction. If you'd like to, you're more than welcome.
Oh, okay. I see, and believe it or not, as good as our defense is and as good as their offense is and as good as their defense is, I see a high-scoring game. And the reason being is that, you know, in games like this where quality play meets quality play, usually offense would get the upper hand because most of the calls, both from the standpoint of defense and offense, is for the offense. So I think it'll be a high-scoring game. I call it 34-24, all Golden Dome.
Well, you're listening to the Game Day Show with Evan Sharpley on your home for Fighting Irish Football. We're talking with Mike Towns and Al Samuels. And now we're going to kick it to Ross Browner. A couple of keys for today's game and a score prediction.
Well, you know, I love the defense. You know, I'm a defensive guy, so I love how
I haven't recognized that.
Defense.
We got it.
I mean, that number 55, that nose tackle getting in there, slapping them around, and oh man, that just excites me. I mean, I get
you're ready
so
to go.
And then, of course, our offense. We already said the book's going to play, and he's going to be throwing that pass and being more precision. And I think our wide receivers and our tight end are going to be big, big items in this game because their defense, it's okay. But, you know, the defensive backfield, they still can be vulnerable. And I think that's where we're going to attack them at. And with our running backs, I'm looking for them to blossom out. I'm looking for somebody to just break out and just take over. You know, because we need somebody like that in the backfield to be able to help out Book. We're getting some more yardage and all that type of thing. So it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be a high scoring. 34-24. Okay, I can go with that. Okay, as long as we coming out with the Irish winner. Fighting Irish, baby, we're going to win. All right.
Amen.
Well, real quick, before we go, I asked Luther Bradley this a couple weeks ago, and Mike, I think I already know your answer. But Ross, now, you guys think you could still suit it up and play?
No. I think I'd rather watch.
Mike?
Oh, you would actually.
You're gonna go opposite Julian Love? That'd be a pretty good.
Oh boy, I tell you,
that'd be a good combination. If,
I tell you, I could go four downs.
Well, hey guys, appreciate you taking some time. Go grab some Fisher's Tips and Chips barbecue, tailgate, all enjoy right. The day, and hopefully we see an Irish victory tonight.
Thank you. You're listening to the Game Day Show
with Evan Sharpley on your home for Fighting Irish Football, 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT. The Game Day Show is brought to you by State Farm Insurance Agent Tim Growl. For all your insurance needs, call Tim at 232-9981. United Beverage, encouraging you to enjoy responsibly, drink wiser. Wings, etc., grill and pub, good food, great times, and online ordering. Go to wingsetc.com. And Zolman's Tire and Auto, trusted community service for over 40 years. I'm your host, Evan Sharpley, on your home for Fighting Irish Football, 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT. We're live here at Ivy Cordon and Suites. We still have Fisher's Tips and Chips Barbecue. This is the part of the show where I give you my keys to the game. First off, I'm looking at turnovers, red zone efficiency, and I think this game is going to come down to quarterback play, either Ian Book or Brandon Winbush, and KJ Costello for Stanford Cardinal. I'm going to take the Irish in a close one here, 24-23. And just a reminder, next week, Notre Dame travels to Virginia Tech. No kickoff time has been set yet when a kickoff is announced. Listen for game day approximately 4.5 hours prior to kickoff, and listen to WSBT during the week for that time. A big thanks to Vince here on site, Matt Embry back in the studio. Studio. Jessica from Ivy Court Inn and Suites, Fisher's Tips and Chips Barbecue, which again, if you're in the area, please stop by. We have plenty of food still to go around. For all of us at WSBT, I'm Evan Sharpley. Enjoy the game and go Irish.